The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Different. ShipEnergy.com.
In St. Louis on NBC Sports Rivalry Night, it's the Blues and the Bruins. We'll get to that as well, and much more with Pierre McGuire. How you doing?
I'm good, and the Penguins will be angry, just like when they were in Montreal the last time.
That's right.
They will be angry. They did not show up last night against the Islanders at all. Zero, nada, nothing. They know it, too.
Yeah, and that's the scary part, and yep. Carey Price is back. And
yeah, no, that's good. I mean, like, you guys wanted him in, and he obviously wants to play.
No, Gallo didn't want him in. Gallo doesn't want him in.
I meant most of you. Gallo's a wise one. But anyways, we'll see. I'm just speaking tongue-in-cheek, by the way.
No, I know, but seriously.
Seriously, I care about the man's health more than anything else and about next season for the Montreal Canadiens. This year's over. And if you need the rest of these games, you play, what do you have, 5 on the road and 4 at home, something along those lines. I know you have more road games and home games with this team. If you need to, and I don't mean you, Mitch Melnick, if people need to see Carey Price and how good he is, then I don't know why the team signed him to the contract they did. I mean, if they don't know how good he is, then why'd they give him that contract? They don't need to see him play.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to keep going around.
No, I'm just. I mean,
that's fine. That would be if you were running the team. We know how you feel about it, and that's. I respect that position very much. Yep. But specifically, like again, I know everybody is running out of things to say here. we can't wait. I mentioned earlier. I went off earlier on the only thing that I care about next. Is April the 9th or whenever it will be that Mark Bergevin and Jeff Molson will sit and answer questions, hopefully pointed questions, from members of the media on behalf of the fan base here about where they are. I don't expect A, B, C, D, this is what we're going to do, this is what our plan is, but I want to feel like they know what they're doing. That's the message that I want that meeting to end with. Between now and then, I don't care about anything, to be honest with you.
Well, that's perfect because that's how you should be thinking about next season. That's really well said by you, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's why I've taken the stance that I've taken. I'm thinking about next year. This year's over. This year's over for sure, and they know that. To me, the biggest thing is what needs to come out of that meeting, and whether they do it or not, that's their decision. But I would tell you they need to be transparent about what they're going to do to grow their brand. So they need to decide, are we good enough in goal? Probably yes. What's our depth on defense? We probably need help. So they need to say, we have a plan of building our defense. We know it was a weak link for our team. Then the next thing they have to tell you is, and if they don't tell you this, then they really got an issue. We're not good enough down the middle. We need to be better down the middle. So you better hear that from them. And if you don't hear that from them, then you know you're in big trouble because they're not being realistic about their group. They can't overrate their players, and I think they did that going into this season. They have to be honest about where they are as a group right now and where they potentially will be next year. Because unless they hit the mother load in free agency this summer or make just a gargantuan trade, you're not looking at a big change. And I know Carey Price is going to be your goalie for good portions of the year if he's healthy. I know that, which is going to be great. They've been shut out 12 times this year. No team in the league's been shut out 12 times.
If you want to take that stat one step further, yep. As bad as it is, Rod.
25 times out of their 74 games, they've scored one goal or no goals. 25 out of 74.
Well, that's all you need to know. So those are the things you better hope you hear. You know, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need to do that. And if you don't hear that, then there should be cause for concern. That's what I would be really worried about if I were a fan, is if you don't hear the proper messaging at the end of the year.
Well, Pierre, as far as what Mitch is waiting for, this stretch of games, what do you think it's like for the people that are working for the Canadiens that aren't sure what their future is? We know Bergevin is safe, and we think Julien is safe, but the rest of the staff, both the coaches and the people in charge of scouting and the American League affiliate, how do you think this stretch of games is for them?
This is what I tell my children all the time about being in pro sports. The only thing you can control is your professionalism, how hard you work, and how hard you prepare. The rest of it is up to somebody else that's at a higher pay grade than you. But you have to worry about your professionalism and your work habits. And if you have really good work habits and you're extremely professional, if it doesn't work out where you are, you're going to land on your feet pretty quick. But you have to have those two things in particular. And if you don't, then it's not going to be good. And people will paint you as a malcontent. So it's really important if you are somebody that's in the position that Mitch Gallo is talking about, you got to work your tail off, you got to shut your mouth, and you got to really be professional about everything. And be a part of the group. Be part of the group. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the group.
Are you already in the process of calling people you know around the league, inquiring if, just in case, you get the bad news that, or is that something you wait for? Or if that's the case, do you wait too long? I know it's a position you've been in. It's something a lot of us wonder about.
Great question. I have been in there. And you know what? I never, ever called anybody. There were two times in my career where another team called and asked for permission to hire me, and they were declined. Once when I was coaching in Hartford, another time when I was working in Ottawa. Both organizations were not allowed to talk to me because I had multi-year contracts. So I understood that. But no, I don't think it's wise to call around. I think because if it does get out that you have been calling around and you're in the employ of another team, that, again, shows that there's a disloyalty thing there, and people shy. In this league in particular, they shy away from that. It's crazy because in football and baseball, you don't really see that. I mean, the political hirings in those sports are not nearly as overt as they are in hockey. In hockey, there are a lot of political hirings, a ton of political hirings, whereas in those other sports, people don't care. They just try to hire the best people.
Yeah, and in football, it's Super Bowl week, and you have an agent talking to another team about getting a job.
That's what I mean. It's just our sport's different. It really is, and I don't have a problem with that. But I can just tell you, it's just different. It's really, really different. Just the way it is.
It's pretty rare to see a head coach come into a team mid-season and then evaluate things over the summer, especially a head coach who's won a Stanley Cup and's got a stellar resume and an established coach, and decide to retain all of the assistant coaches. Do you think we'll see Claude Julien make an adjustment to the coaching staff?
I don't know that, because I don't know the relationship he has with Kirk or... obviously, I think the MVP in the goalie position is Stefan Waite. I just think Stefan's fantastic. I said it before he was hired by the Canadiens, and I'll say it again. He really is one of the truly bright spots in the league for that position as a coach. So I don't think he's in any danger. I don't know his relationship with J.J. Daniel. I don't know, you know, where Danny Lacroix fits in with their group. So it's going to be interesting. But I just, again, you got to be around it to know the relationship he has with those other men. I just don't.
But it is kind of strange to have a coach of Julien's stature, to Rod's point, not having hired his own guy a year plus into the job.
No, that's true. But again, I think they were probably comfortable after last year with the time that he was there. And they were probably comfortable both as a staff and he in particular with the guys that he had. So that's probably why there wasn't a change.
Claude Julien today before the game.
Well, you've had to teach more. I think there's no doubt it's tested your patience and, obviously all that stuff that comes with, you know, young teams and maybe not winning and that kind of stuff. So that's something, you know, I can be honest with you about. At the same time, you know, you always look forward to the day where it's going to start paying off.
All right. The teaching part of a lost season involving players who on this roster right now, you can't say for certain that most of them are going to be back next year playing for Claude Julien. Are they? Do you think when they're in film session or videotape or whatever, they're rolling their eyes and can't wait to get home? They can't wait for the season to end or what?
Well, if guys are doing that, then they should be sent home because they should have a captive audience in there. They have not done a good job this year as a group. They know that. Every day they should be playing guilty. You got to have pride to be in this league, and you got to be extremely proud if you wear the CH in Montreal. That's got to be drilled into those guys every day. And if they're not, if they're rolling their eyes in meetings, then the coach needs to go to the manager and say, listen, this guy doesn't care about himself. He doesn't want to be here. Let's accommodate him and move him along. That's how you build standards. And if you're not building those standards, you're not going to be successful as a group. And that's got to be an everyday habit. It really does. And if you don't have it, Mitch, you're not going to be successful with the guys that are in there if they're rolling their eyes.
Pierre McGuire in St. Louis. The Blues are hosting the Bruins tonight on NBC Sports. Again, the Habs and Penguins in Pittsburgh. Carey Price back. Matt Murray just came back from a concussion last night, made 36 saves. Marc-Andre Fleury took a shot in the mask against Vancouver last night, didn't come back. He's hurt. They won't say it's a concussion. The last thing the Vegas Golden Knights need in a season like this is to have another key injury.
That is correct. I told you the story when we were going over this Carey Price stuff about how Mike Richter's career ended. A slap shot from center ice off the stick of Chris Tamer, Atlanta versus Rangers in New York. A slap shot from center ice, end of the guy's career. So that's why I took the position I took with Carey. And you saw what happened with Fleury last night. Guys shoot the puck harder than ever before. It's just the reality of it in this league now. I've never seen guys shoot the puck harder. And almost everybody shoots it hard. So it's an issue, but no, they cannot afford. If they lose Marc-Andre Fleury for a long stretch, that's going to be a big problem for them in Vegas, even though I like their team a lot and I love the way they play.
You know, Pierre, back in the day, we used to hear a lot of, first shift of the game, shoot up high on the goalie, put it by his ears, make him think about that shot up high near the mask. I'm thinking with Carey Price in goal, would that be something you would hear between the benches, a team saying, let's put it up high on the goalie, or is that something of the past?
I don't think you would really need to say anything. And plus, I would tell you this, there is still a respect level in the league for all players. You know, you don't always see it. It's not always apparent, but there's still a respect level. And, you know, a guy's coming back from a pretty significant injury, talking about Carey. I still think you got to be humane about it. To say that if somebody were to say that on the bench and something like that happened, I think that'd be bad. I mean, take you back to what happened with Mark Crawford and the Vancouver Canucks in the situation with Stephen Moore and Todd Bertuzzi. You know, something was said there, and then a lot of people got in trouble. I don't think you ever wanted to say anything like that about a player coming back from injury.
Plus, if there's one player on that Pittsburgh bench should be somewhat sensitive to what Price is going through, it's Sidney Crosby.
Yep.
Right?
Especially that organization. I'm going to share this story with you, and it's one that I only share it with you because it speaks to Mitch Melnick's point. 3 or 4 years ago, I was doing a Pittsburgh-Philadelphia game, and one of the players on the Penguins bench said something really inflammatory towards the Flyers. And Sid heard about it. And Sid was absolutely irate, furious with his teammate. And he grabbed the guy after the game. And he said to him, "That is completely and utterly unacceptable. If you want to be a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins, you don't talk that way. And if you are going to talk that way, you're not going to stay here because that's not the kind of organization we run here." I thought it was fantastic. Fantastic what he did. And so, you know, I just know how Mario carried himself. I know how Sid's carried himself. I know how, you know, Mike Sullivan wants a team to play. So I wouldn't expect any shenanigans, no.
Pierre, there were ramifications in Chicago last summer because of the manner in which they were swept aside by the Nashville Predators. Now that window, and they've been a great organization for a decade, is slammed shut. They were officially eliminated last night by Colorado. Do you think any further fallout happens, or is there just an acceptance that they set a bar pretty high and they got to start over?
No, this will not be accepted. I'm sitting in a rink where they got eliminated 2 years ago in a Game 7. Troy Brouwer, their old teammate, knocked them out in a Game 7 winning goal here in St. Louis. The next year, as you said, they play Nashville. I did all the games in that series. They didn't score a goal on home ice against Nashville in the first two games and eventually go out in four. They were really angry about that as a management group and as a management team in particular. This will not be accepted well. It's huge revenues lost. You've got people giving up their season tickets for the first time in a long time. That's the buzz around the rink. I was there on Sunday when they lost to St. Louis in overtime. So I think that there will be changes. What those changes will be, only one man knows, John McDonough. He's a very powerful president of an organization, extremely, extremely powerful. So he's going to be the guy that's going to make the decisions. What those changes are going to be, I don't know. But I can tell you this. They need to make their defense better. They need to get Corey Crawford back. They need to get more players buying into what the coach is selling. Because there wasn't a huge buy-in this year. For whatever reason, there were nights where they got beat, and they got beat bad. And that's because guys weren't given everything they could give, and that's not a good sign. So I would say that significant things are going to happen. What those things are going to be, only John McDonough knows.
And almost symbolically, on the night the Blackhawks are eliminated, Columbus wins their ninth in a row, led by Panarin, who scored a hat trick and has now got 25 goals.
And part of what ails Chicago this year is the chemistry that was built up between Kane and Panarin over two seasons. It was phenomenal. They wanted to try to get harder, more physical forecheck play, so they trade Panarin to get, you know, Saad. And Saad's kind of had an up and down year. He hasn't really been very consistent for them, and he'd be the first person to tell you that. So that's been a big problem for them too, that deal. And then you see, you know, they trade Ryan Hartman because they were, I think they were upset with some of the things he was doing, and he goes to Nashville, and he's, I think I told you this right after the trade deadline. That was one of the better unheralded trades of the trade deadline. He's gone in there and played fantastically well. So again, they're going to do, I think there'll be some major soul searching done. They're not going to bury, I can tell you this, Mitch, unlike some teams in this league that like to bury their head in the sand or overhype their players, they won't do that in Chicago. Not this year. I can tell you that. No way.
Again, Chicago eliminated, losing 5-1 to Colorado, and it's remarkable. We touched on this with Pierre LeBrun yesterday, Pierre, but you know, Varlamov, 44 saves, McKinnon and Ratnan and Barry, 3 points each. Those four guys are I don't know how far they can get going here once the playoffs start, but this is quite a late season surge by those players and the franchise.
Well, Nathan's been fantastic. You know, it's amazing to see where he is compared to last year. He's got to be in the MVP discussion. Tyson Barrie's always been a very, very good player. I can tell you, he was so disheartened last year. I remember talking to him doing a game, Colorado-Detroit, and talking to him after the game, and he's such a competitive person. He was so disheartened by the way they were going down in games and not competing. It was really driving him nuts. And Landeskog is, if you've ever met him, you would know what a competitor is. He's the perfect example of a competitor. Just a really solid citizen, good man, hard worker. So you're starting to put together really, you know, strong foundation there. And that trade they made earlier this year, the three-way with Nashville and Ottawa, that's going to bear some very, very impressive fruit down the road. If their scouting staff does a halfway decent job, which they should, they're going to be in a real good shape. And they have that home ice thing that really matters. Playing at altitude is really hard for the visiting teams. It really causes problems.
In St. Louis, the Bruins Wednesday night, rivalry night on NBC Sports. Will Ryan Donato be able to keep up his 3 point per game pace?
No, but that's okay. He's still gonna get points. To me, the biggest thing with him is the comfort level he has playing with David Krejci. That's really apparent. That Dan Heinen's the other winger on that line. Ryan's excited. I spoke to him again last night after he got to St. Louis, and you know, I think the biggest thing for him is that he's been so well prepared for this. A lot of guys, they have a learning curve that they go through when they get into the league. He really didn't have to go through that. His dad played for 13 years in the league. He's always been around the Bruins. His general manager, Donnie Sweeney, you know, was teammates with Ryan's father, Teddy, in Boston, and even in Dallas, I think. So, I mean, he was made to do this. He was made to be a Bruin, and he was prepared for this. So he won't be overmatched, but he'll get points. He's one of the more dynamic guys. I told you this like 2 years ago. He's one of the most dynamic players outside the NHL, and now it's starting to bear fruit.
The last two games that we've lost, we start off well. We're just second pair. We haven't been able to sustain our game, and a lot of that is from the level of play of certain players who are probably getting more ice time than they normally would, and it's not their fault. It's not our fault. We're in a situation here where we have to deal with what we've got, and you know, players play lesser roles and they're good at it. Give them too much and they get exposed.
Final one, Pierre. What do you suppose Carey Price was thinking watching that performance the other night at the Bell Center while he was sitting on the bench for the first time in weeks?
I'm not sure I could do any better than Antti Niemi did. I mean, Niemi was I thought he was fantastic in that game. But I think he probably sees what a lot of fans are seeing and what you've been saying and seeing for a long time is that there are a lot of holes in this team. And those holes need to be filled. And it's easier to say you need to fill them than to fill them. So again, you know, what are the needs? They need defense, they need center ice play, and they need, I think, some more grit. You know, they can't have the smallest guys in their team be their most gritty guys, because those small guys that are gritty, they break down. They break down a lot easier than big guys who are gritty.
On site in St. Louis, one of the great sports towns in America. Enjoy it, the Boston Bruins on NBC tonight. You can watch most of it with the Habs' early start in Pittsburgh. Thanks a lot, Pierre.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, Mitch, from, I don't know if it's sunny or not, San Diego, California tomorrow.
Rod has been there. It is always sunny in San Diego.
Well, no, I checked the weather. It's raining.
Well, by the time you get there, it'll be sunny.
McGuire will bring the sunshine.
I'll bring the sun. Exactly,
bring it.
Rod.
Bring it hard. Bring it hard.
All right. Thanks a lot, boys. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
And that's where experience comes in. You say, well, you know, right now he can't handle that. Maybe he will, but perfect situation. We wouldn't have him doing this and that, and he would still do a good job in the area he would be put in. And that's kind of the experience that you gain along the way as a coach, as a person who assesses players and evaluates.
I like Claude Julien a lot, but it's over.